Blog Talk Radio.
Herself, Shao Even Shy. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio group, poetry group, chat group, family that shares poetry and good times daily, or nightly. And tonight is Personal Prompt Monday, the second to the last Monday of the year. The year flew by, reminding me that we're just a stone's throw away from coming up on our third anniversary here at A Team of Voices. So that's really exciting, something to look forward to. But in the meantime, I'm really looking forward to the amazing poetry that you'll be hearing tonight. And I am going to tell everyone that we hang out at allpoetry.com. It's a huge poetry site, and you can join for free. And if you join or are already a member, look us up on the Groups tab, Team of Voices, and you can hang out with us, share your poetry, and hang out with some amazing people. And the number to call if you'd like to participate on the live show is 1-646-668-2837, And if you're in the chat room when we're live, you can see where we add each poem link so that you can follow along and comment yourself and share your own poetry. And on that note, let me let a few people in, one of which is not my co-host yet. Very interesting. Where's Mr. Hatter? Big Brother's late. I need one of them tick-tock, you're late for a very important date kind of things. Anyhow, I'm going to say hello to one of my amazing board members, Sweet Pea. Hey, Sweet.
Hello. Hello. How are you? How's the world treating you?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to hanging with everyone. Let me invite a few in who are waiting for us at the door, like the dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life, none other than Stephen and Kay, and Stephen's one half of the team for the Man Cave Monthly here at A Team of Voices. Hey, guys, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Glad you're both here. And right there next to them is none other than Mr. Wayne Gent. Wayne, still spinning. Wait, there,
hello,
Wayne, welcome.
Oh. Sweet, dear, Kay, Stephen, hey.
Hey.
Glad everyone is here. So, now I know, because it's our thing, either they go before me or they go, or I go running there after, and since I already read for them today, I happen to know that they just got done being on the radio themselves for a few hours. So I'm going to run over and grab Kay's poem so we can find out what she did with the adorable gingerbread art. So, there's the room. Okay, now, Kay, if you would please take us away and show us what you got.
Okay.
Or did you want me to push the button?
Oh, no, I can read it. It's okay.
Okay.
I picked a picture of what looked like the gingerbread man with a lot of cookies around him. So I call this Jingling Experiment Upon Peppermint Lane of Chocolate Chip Notions. Upon the red gingham prints, where mooses prance, a lilt in their step upon grease in the snow, as antlers shine bright in regalness, the sounds of laughter, the crackling fire, signatures of ginger snaps of home. 'Twas a place where a gentle whisker tickles the ear, a purr and a nudge to say, wake up, Christmas is near, as we still have much to do. Though the cold morning air is still a tint of turquoise before dawn taps glass, snows in its drop, snowflakes ice the branches, a snip of cutouts raining in jewels, garlanding the hearth in strings of white, sugar cookies and dollops of kisses, peanut butter, the thumbprints of dough, seasoned with love, sprinkled in kindness. Merry Christmas, my loves. And poem.
You know, this is really, really awesome. I like the tenderness that's mixed in with the cookie terms. Signatures, the ginger snaps of home. Man, there was a Christmas is near, as we still have much to do. Though the cold morning air is still a tint of turquoise before dawn taps the glass. But I think what struck me most was the sugar cookie and dollops of kisses, peanut butter, the thumbprints of dough, seasoned with love and sprinkled with kindness. So the yummy way you mixed love with the types of cookies and the cookie terms and the dollops of kisses. I mean, I thought that you did an excellent job with this. And like cookies for Santa, save this ginger. That's adorable. I mean, all the way around. I like that it is whimsical, like the art. And I love the title. Jingling Merriment Upon Peppermint Lane of Chocolate Chip Notions. You know, chocolate chip notions sound like a really delightful thing. So all the way around, I think this is very cool. And I see that it's on the front page. Congratulations on that. I love when that happens. Amazing share, Kay. Thank you very much. Let me get you some comments. Let me go right to Wayne, please.
Yes. I said, I love this. Cats and Kitties, Christmas Delights. And it's right here. Twas the place where a gentle whisper tickled the ear, a prayer and a nudge to say, wake up, Christmas is near. Did you hear that? Kay rhymed. Yes. Kay rhymed. Great. I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm never sure if I do. Thank you.
By accident, right? No, that was cute. Oh, my goodness. Sweet, can you comment for Kay, please?
Well, I can tell you I really love this poem. I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was full of imagery. I can tell you I liked it. It was a wild poem for me. So special things that I made sure happened at this time.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, will you comment for Kay and then read your poem for us?
Sure. I think this poem is very sweet. I think, you know, I gained about 10 pounds just from the title alone with peppermint and chocolate chip. But I think the imagery in this is beautiful. It makes you think of Christmas. And, yeah, the part that Wayne quoted, the place where a gentle whisper tickles the ear, a purge, a nudge, say, wake up, Christmas is near. I do love that part, too, because it's something that we live almost every day.
Yeah.
Where they're saying, hey, wake up, get up. But, the last stanza is also making me think of our Advent gifting, especially since lately you've been doing gifts of the baked goods that you've been making while I'm at work. Mm-hmm. I come home to a wonderful smelling home of Christmas and peanut butter thumbprints of dough. It's just a sweet poem. It's very well written, and I love it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, and I chose a picture of Santa Claus, and I kind of also used the Polar Express as a bit of a prompt for myself as well. And I call this, what word would be punched on my ticket? Please, toy maker, let me on the train, although I be so old. Let me ride in the red caboose up to the place that's cold. Those tracks that lay down under ice and through the caribou, loop the loop of snowflake men neath stars of moon of blue. Life is far too real and hard. It's filled with so much pain. I need to believe in you once more. Hear sleigh bells ring again. Let me on the Polar Express. Don't pass my home so poor. Childhood passed me by so fast and left a hollow core. I wish to hear hooves on the roof. Sound I found sublime. So cobbler, let me have Christmas as a child just one more time. End poem.
Oh. Wow. Wouldn't that be awesome, Stephen? Everybody. I mean, just one more time. Yeah. You took me away right there at the end and I lingered for a minute. What word would be punched on my ticket? Please, toy maker, let me on the train. Although I be so old, let me ride in the red caboose up the place that's cold. I mean, and then you have the images for us, the gifts, and we've got the snow. Life is far too real and hard. It's filled with so much pain. I need to believe in you once more. Hear sleigh bells ring again. Aside from the fact that that is true and amazing and perfect with your theme, I had to laugh just a little extra because it's funny how often we poets pronounce that word again when we need to, but if we don't, for some reason we pronounce it with an E sound, you know, again. So it just, like I said, totally off topic, but it gave me a little extra giggle because it's the only time I say again as well. And this is just like, enchanting all the way down to that golden ticket in his hand that says believe. I mean, there's so much Christmas magic in the thought of this. And, if we could just believe hard enough for that one more day. And, I'm being struck by, on that day, so many would still be there. If I was a child, that day would be packed to the point where there wasn't enough seats for everybody. In the man, you're taking me away. This is really incredible. I enjoyed it very much, Stephen. I feel like I'm about to shed a tear. I can't help it. But a good one. So that's a mighty pen. Thank you. Let me say hello to Hatter. Welcome to the show, Hatter.
Hello.
I was doing the. He's late. He's late for a very important, thing at the beginning. Anyhow, glad you're here.
Yeah.
Did you hear Stephen's poem?
I didn't. I was trying
okay.
to back.
Okay, I wasn't sure how long. Okay, no problem. Let me just mosey on over here and see what Mr. Wayne Jen thought of that.
I said, this is just too much, an illustrated poem. The poem was wonderful, but the movie was just too much for me. My childhood passed me by, waved by too fast, and left a hollow core. Great job, Producer Stevens. I like this. It's a wonderful job. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And great comment, Wayne. Sweet, what did you think?
Wow. This is so nostalgic and has so much in it. I said, it's like you almost want to shed a tear because I love these playmaker Let Me on the Train, although it's so old. I know Deb shows that, but I kind of feel like I'll be ever too old for the playmaker. Absolutely not. I just kind of felt that in my heart. I really, really enjoyed that. And I also love the life is dark to your own heart. Feels like a heavy pain. And he's leaving me right now. Because he doesn't need to leave anything with us. I mean, that hope, that love, that, somebody all encompassing will visit everyone, regardless of what you've done. Now you may get a little cold, but he's still going to come visit you. I just find this beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sweet.
Awesome comment. And Wayne?
Just comment while I go.
Okay, didn't I just ask? I'm sorry. Like I said, I was really taken. Anyhow, I'm sorry. How about I get a comment from his lovely wife, please?
Well, yeah, I like how you bring in the gifts throughout. A long time ago, I was able to watch this movie, but this is a movie I can no longer do, only because it makes me think of our son that we lost. So this is one of those many movies that are now banned in our house because I don't want to feel what it makes me feel.
Mm-hmm.
I like how you spoke to this, though, because the prompt is adorable. And as I said, I can hear Josh Groban singing as I read you, right, because he does offer his voice to the soundtrack for this film. The imagery definitely takes one to days of youth. Magic believes, lost, and also wanting to be regained. It's a wonderful piece.
Fantastic comment, everyone. Now, I don't bring poems to my own show too often, but I did put mine on the board. But before I read, I was wondering if you might want to tell us what's up, what else is up this week at Poetics Life.
Sure. Our next show is Wednesday night at Eastern. It is the Poetic Inklings, and it's the only show this month that we actually veered away from Christmas, as it is the Agnes Cecil show. And Agnes Cecil doesn't paint Christmas, as she mostly paints darkness. And so Kay found a pretty cool collection of paintings that kind of have at least a little of a winter theme to them, I think, to check out and see how they inspire the pen at 10 p.m. Eastern. And Friday, Christmas Eve, we're just going to have a just like a little Christmas party at 8 p.m. Just come and hang out, say hello, maybe sing some carols, drink some hot chocolate. Maybe read a poem or two if you call. Just have some fun.
Sounds awesome. All right. Thank you both. And I have mine on the board. I don't want to make everybody feel like we're rushing, but I just want to see if we can't get these in. So if you'd click on mine, I'll show you what I did with my little art piece. Okay. So this is called The Disclaimer at the Sugar Plum Fairy B&B. And here we go. Inside the peppermint pastille porter, standing out on the Cracker Jack Bay, spot the frosted gingerbread cottage in a cookie-cutter lighthouse display, with a frosted cupcake sitting on top, and perched feather cardinal valet. Candy-coated chocolate dots the roof. Five topiary gumdrops sit at the door, out on the marshmallow-covered cove down at the saltwater taffy seashore, packed with the breakfast ingredients to serve up meals with a sweet s'more. All the evergreen trees wear meringue, plant shrubs, and all the bushes do too. The wreath is dotted with red gumballs, adding pops of color onto the seaside view. As strings of light glitter on the fir tree, blinking outside in the buttery yellow hue. Vanilla icing blankets the high balcony, whitewashing the ground of this croft. And the sugar plum fairy bed and breakfast, kids sleep on bedtops, cotton candy soft. Parents on whipped nougat mattress, tucked in the mistletoe-covered skyloft. Just dial 1-800-SUGARSHOCK. Their switchboard is set to take the calls, but no munching out on the ornaments hanging from ceilings or on the walls. You may trigger the building to cave in, then crush your family as everything falls. And boom.
The
kitty liked it.
Yeah, I like this a lot, Deb. I love the descriptions in here. I'm telling you in my comment that this is a bed and breakfast that I both want to visit and don't want to visit because the food sounds good. But I think I would gain probably 20 to 30 pounds before I left, and that would just be in one day. Yeah, this is great. I like how you bring in all the details of the picture. And the saltwater taffy seashore is probably my favorite. God, I love saltwater taffy.
Yeah,
this is awesome.
Yeah. Is Kay with you?
Yep.
Yeah. I had actually peeked at this last night because I like to comment on the rights that are in the topic folder as a trickle in, so that way I'm adding a little bit of kindness to everybody there that takes part. But I like how the picture looks alone because that's enough, as I said, to cut a tooth on. The sweetness factor, it can make one hungry. I like the way it looks. But, yeah, and speaking to the view, yeah, the look of a sugar rush, what happens after the buzz. Speaking of the crash, adding its own look that can have its crash, it can be destructive as to leaving one homeless, as you say. But it's definitely a fairy tale edge of sweet proportions that are sticky, minty, and magically delicious.
Oh, cool comment. Awesome. Thank you so much. And I appreciate the comment, you guys. I have to say, though, on a side note before Stephen and duck out, how about the way the games fell yesterday, Stephen? Can you believe that the Steelers and the Browns are in the top 10 there and in the race for the wild card?
Yeah.
You just never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Oh, I know.
Well, we shall see what's going down. I was like, the more they talked, the more it bumped up a little, and then they said, and if this happens and that happens, and then lo and behold, it happened. And when they showed people in the hunt for the wild card, my team was there, and so were them Browns. So
I know.
Yep.
Going to be my birthday miracle.
You think so?
There you go.
That would be cool.
Awesome.
And Stephen put a football player on the sweepstakes wall for luck, so you just never know. But anyway,
football player. He's just a
player. Right. Okay, well, back to poetry now, away from football. I have the poem on the board by Wayne Gent and with Sweets on Deck. So, Wayne, would you read your poem?
I'm going to comment first because you didn't let me comment a while ago with your poem. So I'm going to comment first.
Oh.
I put in your poem on your post. This poem is loaded with calories. I need a double shot of sugar straight up. Help, I'm going in sugar shock. It's a great poem, perfect balanced meals. I mean, somebody call a baker. Help. Good job.
Oh, thank you, Wayne. Thank you, everyone. Now, Wayne.
So, that's my point. I don't know if this poem is finished or not. I was writing it when I was on air because I'm running late today. It's been a busy day shopping and stuff. But this is called Crystal Castle. And it goes like this. Winterland, paradise, appears polished and big eyes, green frigid air, falling snow, an ornamental surprise. Styling crystal neon kingdom, dances with porcelain sky. A vinyl audience announces autumn's blushing goodbye. Canopy lit with raspberry, blueberry, and pomegranate too. Coated evergreens sing as serrated shrubs admire the view. Lounging on marshmallow coat, of cool powdered without care, furry ivory family, relax with scent of bubbly polar bear. Lightness of powdered pleated pathway, skips to door, sound of shouting saxophone, ignites smoking humidor. Ambassador at Mosaic Winter resides in jeweled corridor, crimson crowd carries, pucker crew in clementine splendor.
Wow. Let me see, where do I go? Well, the first line, Winterland paradise appears polished in blinking eyes, bringing frigid air, falling snow, an ornamental surprise. I love the rhyme, the flow, the cadence, the visuals. Gorgeous first two lines. I mean, even if you didn't put more, you captured the enchantment of the photo that you chose. Canopy lit with raspberry, blueberry, and pomegranate too. Coated evergreens sing as the serrated shrubs admire the view. I'm really liking the fact that some of the words in there, like, did you? I know there was no word bank, but yet even the two of us, we used a few of the same words. We had marshmallow, and I love that you've been using the different various descriptors all year long, and now you're just using them without word banks and without color and crayons to pick from. I think it's spectacular that you're painting these poems for us so brilliantly. And like I said, you have it filled with sights and sounds. And I mean, you describe a place that I would want to sit and enjoy in a really warm coat. And I would love to pet those polar bears, but they might want to eat me for dinner. But very, very cool share. I absolutely brilliant. Let me get you some comments. Hatter, what do you think of Wayne's poem?
Very creative. I love the picture. I love how he started it. Winterland paradise appears polished, the blinking eye. Down through the porcelain sky. What was the other part? Lightness of powdered pleated pathway skips the door. Sound of shouting saxophone ignites smoking humidor. I got a kitty here.
Kitty.
Yeah.
And then little kids.
I got to take care of this cat.
Joy was going to be home. Patrick gets so upset when she's not there. And Sweet Pea, will you please comment for Wayne? Because Stephen and Kay had to go, and I will.
Hold on.
I would love to hear your comment.
Well, first off,
when language literations are just rolling off his tongue, and he makes poetry as smooth as butter. So I don't know how he's doing this lately. Every time I turn around, he's just like a Picasso of words. I mean, he's just like, blah, 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 blah. And he just, there it is. And he's like tongue-tying the rest of the world. But here's Wayne, you know, just singing like an opera singer, hitting all the right notes. And this is just another poem like that. You're just wowing me, babe.
I can't even read it.
You're a 5-star. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm
going to
stick around as I can.
All right. Say that again?
I said I'm going to stick around as long as I can. I ain't planning on leaving. I ain't heard nothing yet, so maybe you're here all night.
Awesome. Okay. I hope that you can, but I understand that it's
Christmas.
A little rough where you live. But I'm absolutely delighted to say that you are okay for sure. Speaking of things going on in the world, I hope that everybody going through issues find that silver lining really quickly, because everybody's got something going on.
Yep.
And send out prayers to those families down there in Kentucky, because
yeah,
it's
good.
Bad no matter when. No matter when, but at Christmas time, it hits even harder. Okay, now on the board is the poem by the beautiful Sweet Pea. So, Sweet, mic is yours.
Okay, so this is to a different trauma he marches. Red hair and blue eyes and the smile of the devil. The child's good hope mixed in chaos for miles. Blue skies, green grass. Never fit his question. Born in the shadow of his dying brother, he learned to play in sterile rooms where white walls were colored in imagination. Ninja Turtle fought for pepperoni pizza and Thundercats for the coloring book pages hung on plastic walls. The brothers could giggle at Superman and pink tights, or days when comic books were read into the night. It was G.I. Joe and Ice Cream Cone to his older brother. He played the drum and sang the song, but his crusade was the life of the monochrome bear that never left the tomb. Red hair and blue eyes and the smile of the devil, a man that brings hope and chaos into the world, playing the drum, writing his poetry, and his crusade was the plight of the song temple.
Wow, sweet. He was G.I. Joe and Ice Cream Cones to his older brother. Played the drums, sang his songs, but his crusade was the life of the monochrome bear that never left his hands. Wow, about second stanza. Born in the shadow of his dying brother, he learned to play in sterile rooms where white walls were colored in imagination. Ninja Turtles fought for pepperoni pizza. And Thundercats roared. I all these little nuances, red hair and blue eyes and the smile of the devil. I'm just picturing this little redhead picturing the feistiness that I'm not quite sure where he might have got that feistiness from. I have to think about that one, huh? but the Thundercats roar and the Ninja Turtles and their pizza, and brothers that giggle at Superman. This is filled with tender moments that endear the reader and feel you there, but also pull little things that they might remember from their own life to pull out these memories. And it's such a gorgeous, and where coloring book pages hung on plastic walls. I just, it really, really sentimental, nostalgic, gorgeous Cher. Really, really. And he was G.I. Joe and Ice Cream Cone to his older brother. Like, he hung the sun and the moon and the stars, but he was G.I. Joe and Ice Cream Cones, which are obviously two of his favorite things on the planet next to his mama. So, like, I love this. I really love where you took this. I love where that panda, I love you, sign. Actually, what we call that, a panda, pandeer? Because this panda has antlers. Anyway, regardless, the photo is cute, but your poem is 10 times more amazing. I love the sentiment of it, sweet. Tyler.
My son.
Say that again, hon.
I said my son wears this really great shirt, and it's got the black bear and a polar bear on it, and it says, "Let's make a panda." It's my favorite shirt of all time. Not that he doesn't have a ton of other panda stuff, but that's my favorite.
Oh, I love that. And I love even
yeah.
more what it inspired. And I wonder what happened
yeah.
to Hatter's phone. Wayne, will you comment for Sweet?
Oh, I would love to. This poem, my speech is filled in the first grade. I was lost for words. The memories this poem brought out into my mind was just wonderful. And then in the poem, he started out as a boy and then ended up at the last stanza, he was a man. The Superman comics read at night, and the big one was a panda bear. Y'all remember Ling Ling, the panda bear in the 90s. They said it was dying, and this was an endangered genus. And this doctor came along and said, quit feeding bamboo and give him dog food. They started feeding Ling Ling dog food, and now they're off the extinction list. Now they're feeding all these pandas dog food, and they're getting healthy and living longer. So that's a story behind that. Anyway, this brought up a lot of memories. It was a great, great, great poem. Love this week.
Thank you.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And it's looking like Hatter's having some issues with the phone. So I think we'll just keep moving along. It's always quiet this week and next. So it might be an inertia, which is not a problem. But Sweet, on a side note, I don't know if you have noticed or happen to be logged into the studio, but if not, you can look later. But, you know, we have this new name that's appearing in our hashtags. And I was like, I can't wait for my Sweet to notice. But since he so often contributes, I added Amadeus to the hashtag.
Oh, no, I did not notice that.
Oh, my God. I'll let you know when he hits the front page of Blog Talk, just saying.
Oh, my God. He should have his own show. Let all the dogs join. Oh, that's so adorable. Thank you. I saw you there with you. He's sitting right next to me. His pre-Christmas smile picture right there in the middle of everything. Oh. I'm going to practice my poor trigger list.
It's adorable, yeah. I love the photo. It had me grinning. And every time I think about, there's this one ribbon that's behind him. You can tell you were like, do you mind? I'm trying to finish here. But he's like, no, I'm ready. And his eyes just look like, come on, let's do this. He's got this attention, like, it's obvious that he used that skill to play his frisbees because he was, I assume he was looking at you and nothing was taking his attention off of looking at you. It was just, like, priceless. So, let's see where we are here. Okay, I'm going to check if Hatter's still not, Hatter dropped. But we have a call from Oz, so let me pick that up. Hello, AP.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
AP.
I am well, thank you.
We are on some very tender, beautiful, nostalgic journeys tonight. People have brought me near tears a couple of times, so I would imagine that you're on a time thing since it's a weekday afternoon there.
Yeah.
So would you put yours right on the board?
Yeah, it's a weekday. Thank you. Yeah. This was interesting, Deb, because I saw the image, and while we don't have cardinals in Australia, we do have very interesting letterboxes. And the letterbox on the image reminded me of the house letterbox. It was in the same colours, actually, that we had down when we were kids, when we went down to see our grandparents in Portland. So this is By the Sweeping Bend, and it goes a little bit like this. Once upon a gum tree, there sat a post box by the track, and it was a bike ride to see what a postie had taken from their sack. The letterbox was a tiny version of Glen Malcolm, our house on the hill, a small white and red diversion as timber trucks rattled towards mill. Sitting upon a small verge, past a fast downward curving left bend, near where the state forests merge, magpies and bellbirds in song ascend. Nervously they would twitter as winged around with a flutter to pike, for somewhere in the leaf litter, snakes and goannas paused to strike. On way by when clock turned 10, we would as a group wander the path, Christmas letters written by pen, men alert with their thick wooden staff. Yet a bird song now long gone, rushed in instead of a house behind, days when voices for mail shone, winds sail past to a rusty hinge grind in palm.
Wow. Really took you on a journey there, didn't it? Once upon a gum tree, there sat a post box by the track, and it was a bike ride to see what a postie had taken from their sack. It's like this little memory of feeding them little legs to the mailbox to see what's in there that I get just from the very first stanza. And nervously, they would twitter and winged around and flutter to pike or somewhere in the leaf litter, snakes and goannas paused to strike. So there was this danger, man, oh, man, on way by the clock turned 10, we would, as a group, wander the past, Christmas letters written in pen, men alert with their thick wooden staff. So you want to take a ride and mail your letter of wishes to Santa. You got to take a speak softly and carry a big staff to get there, and that's kind of spooky. And then when you think about there being no noises, no birds are singing or anything, that there's a quietness that, I don't know, foreboding, like where's all the sound? Where did everything go? It's all gone. But like, there's so much emotion in this one. I'm really, like I said, I was very intrigued by your choice. I had no clue where you were going to take it, but the thought of little you trying to clobber your way through snakes to mail a letter is pretty freaky and pretty cool a share. And is this a true story or just how this hit you? Because it feels like
a memory. Absolutely a true. No, it's a true story. The mailbox in the letter, in the photo that I put down the bottom there, is the old rusty sort of bit of half pipe iron that they put on there. But that used to have a little white house with a red roof on it that was matched the little white house with a red roof on it behind the trees.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. Like I said before you read, there's a lot of emotion and people are sharing themselves on the lines tonight, and you followed suit. Really, really awesome, tender share. Let me get you some comment. Sweet. What do you think of that?
What the hell is wrong with you? That's what I do. I love you, AP. But there is something wrong with you. This poem had me so enthralled with the pretty birdies and the blackbirds and the tiny box. And why?
you have to every year bring a snake into my Christmas.
Oh, my sweet, I forgot.
Why? Every year he does this to me. Every year I get a snake. It's like you, like a little bow. Here's a pretty poem, sweetie. Get involved. Talk to me about, and then bam, he brings me a snake. I think he likes it.
Don't go down the bush. It's they were everywhere down there. Seriously, they were everywhere down there. All over the bloody shop.
They had
wooden staff because of the Eastern Browns, because they would attack you. The others would go away, but the Eastern Browns are very
Oh, you know I adore you, my Lord. I know, you know.
Thank
you. I don't know what it is. It's like Christmas is snakes. I'm never going there, especially around the holidays. What time of year don't the snakes come out?
They go into hibernation for most of late autumn through to early spring. So if you want to go down there without snakes, you go there from probably March through to probably August. And they're pretty sloppy in September, but they make up for it for the rest of the time.
All right, I'm gonna come visit sometime in like June.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Cold enough.
Cold.
Okay, great.
Yeah, no, very much so. You wouldn't see a snake then. You wouldn't see a goanna either. It's too cold for them.
Your Christmas story always involves snakes. They're in Christmas trees.
Oh, that was my childhood.
Now they're at the mailbox
with Santa. That was my childhood. That was. You know, you looked out. Every stick you looked at with a suspicious eye and goes for the bloody snake.
Oh, God. You poor man. Oh.
I'm thinking poor AP's beaten up. Snake.
I know. I just want a truck. I want a little red truck. Bam, bam, bam.
The poor guy. And then you come on and scream. And I'm thinking, is she yelling at that dog and doesn't know she unmuted it? But no, you're yelling at AP over his.
I would never yell at AP. I just get dramatic.
Right?
Then
I got a vivid picture of that Christmas tree he shared with his snake in it. And I saw it and I realized, what are you talking about?
I'm looking at the pretty bird on the mailbox, and that's what I'm gonna. I'm not gonna imagine the big old viper.
Go with that. You're not
going
with the cardinal. I agree. You don't have any cardinals, but you know, I went to the mailbox.
Good.
The mailbox.
I'm so glad it's still alive. You made it through. I'm just glad. You're a positive influence on my life. I'm glad nobody, no snake hate you.
Thanks, Whit.
Wayne, will you please comment for AP?
Yes. I'm wasted, or this poem has really deep meaning to me. This is a deep poem, nervous day with Twitter before the days when voices for mail shown. The pen is in critical condition, and it may not be able to save it. The letterbox was a teeny version, and yet the bird song now long gone. I love the way that you said things in this little peach. There's words in here I could go around and quote all day long. I like the way it's written, and you did a great job. It's very emotional. I love it.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you.
You got it?
Awesome comment. And it's just the four of us. No, but sweet, I have to say I'm laughing at your comment. One is paid, two. Bam.
There's the stuff again.
I didn't even talk about the goannas, Dick. You know, I mean, I just, you know,
happy.
She went straight to the snakes.
I'm enjoying it.
She sounded so high strung, we thought she snapped or something there, you know.
I thought she'd gone. I thought she was sort of jumped off the pool or something, you know, sort of in the air.
I have no idea. No idea. Oh my God. It was a beautiful poem, and I really do. I absolutely. But man.
pictures. I can't even imagine the life he lived. I would have thought, I would just been on the ground. They would have been all over me because I would have thought. But I think if you're raised in Australia, you just develop a resistance to that.
If you're raised in country Australia, city's different, but if you're raised in country Australia, absolutely you do. You've got this sort of sixth sense around you, and you're constantly alert, and you tend to see movement out the corner of your eye, and that's when you stop. You just have to be attuned to movement. And I don't know how to explain it any other way. It's a bit like, you know, with people who have who get, you know, raised with cows or with sheep. They know where to put themselves so that they don't get run over, you know, whereas city people tend to put themselves where the cows are instead of where the cows aren't. And it's a little bit the same with snakes. You sort of get a feel for it. I just don't know how to describe it any better than that. You get a feel for it, and you're just highly attuned to movement.
Right. As you said, you got to have something that's like bred into you. That's so much. But your poem was fabulous. Don't get me wrong.
Well,
fabulous.
No, thank you.
You know, you
really
got to figure.
No,
like you know, you got to figure, Sweet. The reason he's so good at his daily grind with all these suits is because he had to brave creatures like snakes just to mail a Christmas letter to Santa.
Letter.
So these dragon suits that he chews up and spits out daily are nothing compared to beating critters to make it to, you know, something that we take for granted, you know, to walk out right and put it in the mailbox. I couldn't imagine having to battle critters and keep an eye out when you play. Man. So I guess those guys are
different.
Scary.
It's a different sense there. Like, for example, we used to play cricket with the kids across the road, about our age. And cricket's done with this sort of very hard leather ball. And we had a pitch. Normally you have a rolled grass pitch, but this pitch sort of halfway along the line had this sort of sandstone ridge of rock. And so if it hit the rock sort of a bit towards you, it'd skid. And if it hit the rock a little bit backwards, it'd go start going towards your head. And so your reflexes had to be pretty good, aka what I was saying the first way around. You know, it's just sort of a way of being, really.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
But
door
it's
pops
just,
his head.
Sorry, yeah. What?
I said you weren't bobbing the snake's head while you were going after, you know, like bobbing through the cricket game.
No. There's only two types of snakes. The first type of snakes are the ones that see you and get in the opposite direction, which are most of them. And then there's the really nasty bastards who see you and decide to get territorial. And they're the ones you've just got to get the heck away from.
Yeah. You have a couple of those snakes like that. Black snakes, Keisha.
Well, you've got to remember that the Eastern Brown, which is listed as the most venomous snake in the world, is the one that's the most aggressive and nasty. So
let's say I never meet that. I'll be in a world where I would meet that.
You've got the mamba, and you've got the cobra, and you've got the boom slung and all this sort of stuff, but there's still nothing more as venomous as the Eastern Brown.
Okay, APC, let's go to happy things or other things or... I don't know.
Talk
about the status of whatever going on in the world.
What I will say, is that I was really happy because I wrote that poem, and you know I've written like something approaching 1,200, and all of the decent ones I think now are back up on my profile. I've been about 520, and that one on the auto rank came into the top five, and I didn't fiddle around with it. I just wrote it, put it in the site, and thought, well, that's nice. Because it just sort of happened, and
yeah.
I sort of thought, well, that's sort of cool, and I actually like it as a piece of writing, because it's it's sort of I've got a real sort of sense of connection to the poem already, and I only just wrote it this morning.
Oh, good. It wasn't simply because it tortures Sweet Pea. Like this, tortures Sweet Pea. As long as it's not, that's not the reason, I'm happy.
No.
It's so fun.
If I was going to do that, I would have talked more about goannas, but I didn't. I didn't mention them at all.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Oh, that's what we're going to do. A whole show on a Sweet and Dollar. Why snakes exist and why they scare the hell out of sweets. I don't know. But we won't do that show.
Well, we can do that.
No, we can't.
We can do that.
No, we won't.
Well, we don't have to, but we could.
I know we could.
You know,
but all right, let's get back to Christmas happy poem.
Wait a minute. I think we should note that although it had a subject that is not your favorite, it has you cracking up and considering the tone and mood and whatnot from yesterday versus this laughter that I'm hearing today. Bring on some more of those hissing little buggers. So you did a good job, Amy.
Thank you. As I said, I didn't even get into it.
That's the whole thing. Amy can make me giggle. So what can I say?
Yep. Good medicine. Now, in the meantime, Miss Giggles, if you would not mind, will you please read the next poem on the board? And then after that, I have two poems and two recordings and wrapped up for the night.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to go stage left and before everybody shuts down for Christmas, which is not far away, really, in the wider scheme of things.
Yeah.
Here we are, three working days till Christmas. And we actually do close down for Christmas here. We actually, literally, business is all shut for about 2 weeks. So if you don't get it done in the next couple of days, you're waiting a month. Yeah.
Well, tomorrow night is Rax Joe, and he's wondering about past and present and future New Year's resolutions, if you have something fun to share about that. But we'll talk soon.
I'm
and,
sure I can find something out of the box.
You get sampled by the shoppers.
Yeah, well, you know, all good. So, you know, we roll on. So, thank you, Deb. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, of course, Sweet. And I will exit stage left on my bike.
Love and respect.
Thanks again.
I know.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Now, Miss Sweet. Please.
I have a new answer. Like Charles Dent, they can take in the fire. Memories of their laughter, of their life together, crumble and touch. The laughter will be with us there. This will be the first Christmas without her. They thrive for more than 50 years, taken by the thief called Owl Party.
Sweet.
Come to the result. Yes.
Something's wrong. I can't tell. I can hear you, but not like what the word you are. Wayne, are you hearing that muffledness too? Is it just my phone?
Yeah, I heard it for a minute, and then when it came back, so yes, it's kind of an interference of some kind. Not much of it.
Can you hear me better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you mind starting over, please?
Not a problem. This is too beautiful not to hear 100%. Heavenly angel, like charred, burnt, flaking paper in a fire, memories of their life together crumble when touched. He lost her a year ago today. This will be his first Christmas without her, his bride of more than 50 years, taken by the thief called Alzheimer's. He comes here to reflect. To remember the girl with soft chestnut hair and emerald green eyes. He was smitten by upon first glance. He remembers her laugh that rivaled songbirds trilling a tune and the smile that could brighten the darkest of days. He remembers the shimmery silver tears that glistened her eyes. When he placed ring on her finger, promising till death would part them. He remembers the cherry glow on the apples of her cheeks when the twins arrived, a son with dark locks and sapphire blue eyes, the mirror image of her mother. The memories keep coming from deep within his soul and spill forth, flowing in rivulets and falling upon the glistening snow. He remembers kissing her lips one last time before they closed the mahogany casket and being supported on either side by his children as he bade her farewell. Life goes by too fast, especially when you're alone. Feels frigid and hollow. Christmas will be especially cold this year. And foam.
Beautiful read.
Thank you.
Heartfelt. Angel. A cold Christmas indeed. You started off with powerhouse words here. Life. Charred, burnt, flaking paper and fire, memories of their life together crumbled when touched. And I can picture things that have burned, and it's like the ash image of that thing is like a ghost, and yes, it just crumbles into a pile if touched, so that the gripping imagery starts right there and just he comes here to reflect, to remember the girl with soft chestnut hair and emerald green eyes he was smitten by upon first glance. You brought this incredible, powerfully emotional story forth from this prompt. Another one that almost brought me to tears here. It's just an absolutely breathtaking write. Multiple award winner. I think I'm going to have to nominate this one for the front page because I was just looking to make sure it wasn't there already. That is if someone doesn't beat me to it. Angel, I think this is my new favorite of yours. And I think that your last couple poems have been really powerhouses of emotion. It's like whether you're emphasizing the love, the romance, the sorrow, the nostalgia, it's like you've been belting them out. I think it was yesterday I was taken in one direction or the day before in that contest with a group. And then today I'm choked up with emotion. So what a powerful pen, my dear. And again, sweet, beautiful, beautiful read for Angel. Will you comment as well?
My mom and dad were married 52 years when Alzheimer's took my mom, and my dad lasted two Christmases without us. So this is my first Christmas without either one. So this just took me very personal, and it's a beautiful, beautiful write. But it's like the words were written for me. This life does go by too fast. And it's definitely going to be a little colder for me this year.
Heartfelt comment, sweet. I'm so sorry for your loss. At first, Christmas without both is something I wish on nobody ever. Wayne?
I'm so sorry, Sweet Pea. It's that bad. I've been there, and it's a minute, and it wasn't any fun. I'm sorry. This is a tearjerker. I can see this point before my eyes, and it has happened so much, too much. Disease is resistant and horrifying. I just want to go outside and sit for a minute. It's so emotional. You have to feel for both of them. Man, it hurts. This is a touching poem. I could cry, but I think I'll just have another beer. Great job.
That's what I need to go to.
Amazing comment. Incredible poem, Angel. You got us. Mighty, mighty, mighty pen. I'm so sorry, Angel. And Sweet. Wayne, would you mind reading the poem on the board for me?
I'll give it a shot, but I'm kind of, on the board, I don't see nothing but Heaven Angels comments, but I don't see the poem. Can you post it again?
Yeah, let me go.
I got it.
Okay. There it is. I actually
thank
you. This is called A Christmas Wish. It goes like this. Claire walked through the forest in a search for Christmas cherry, missed the frozen winter. She had her mansion, friends, cakes, and money, yet felt fairly bare, empty, and cold. Scorning the woods for evergreen growth, passing every tree to locate the perfect pine, bigger spruce, whose vines would bring her warmth, the joy of the indulging spirit of Christmas celebrations. Finally, she stepped out into the clearing at the edge of the limpid crystal lake, grew the iridescent fir tree she was seeking, symmetrical, conical, with dark green foliage. Reflection of the tree sparked in the silvers and ripples, ornamented with strings of firefly fairy lights. The tree spoke to her in a soft, somber voice. Chose this tree or exchange it for making a Christmas wish come true. Claire had nothing to ask when she suddenly remembered the poor old lady's face. Flashing across her eyes, she saw a wrinkled face bending upon her son, stricken with high fever, no doctor around. Passing her hand to the leaves of fig, in an audible whisper, Claire prayed to the tree. As it trembled, sparked, and sank into the lake, as finally Claire slowly stepped back home. At the end of the forest, the old lady's cottage was now filled with crackers of her family. She heard her speaking in the house, mellow voice. Our son's fever is down. Aren't we lucky? Finally, having found her true happiness, Claire realized the essence of Christmas lay in illuminating lives of lights of love and hope. End.
Awesome. Thank you, Wayne. Iris, I really like this. I remember when you first saw the prompts that day, and you were like, oh, I have a poem for this exact photo. And now I'm glad you went and pulled this one out. It's got like 3 awards. It's on a couple lists. It came out really descriptive and gorgeous. Let me see. Finally, she stepped out into a clearing at the edge of a limpid Christmas lake, grew the iridescent fir tree she was seeking, symmetrical, conical, with dark green foliage, reflecting the tree's sparkle in the silvery ripples, ornamented with strings of firefly fairy lights. That is so, the descriptions there are so enchanting, so charming, so mesmerizing. And towards the end, at the end of the forest, the old lady's cottage was filled with cackles of her family. She heard her speaking in the hoarse, mellow voice. Her son's fever is down. Aren't we lucky? It's like, what more can you ask for than for that fever to break right about there? So it's just like it was filled with. It was a journey, all the way to that Christmas miracle for that fever breaking. I'm really, really glad that you went in your vault and got this one, Iris. Thank you so much for sharing. And again, beautiful read, Wayne. Thank you for reading. Will you comment?
Yes, this is a wonderful poem that
I wish I had one time to read a poem before I read it on the air, because it makes so much difference with one time to get the feeling of it. It used to be magical read right. It's a great poem. Like where it says, at the end of the forest, the old lady's cottage was now filled with crackle of her family. She heard her speaking in a hoarse mother voice. Her son's fever's down. Aren't we lucky? It's a lot better than what I was doing. It's a great poem here.
Awesome comment and sweet. Sweet, are you muted, hon?
Yes, I'm talking about how stunning it is and the happy ending, and it's got, you know, drama and character and, you know, everything you want. I just think it's stunning with the imagery and the details and, you know, the essence of what Christmas is, with hope and life. And, you know, I really enjoyed the whole Christmas story essence of it.
Awesome comment. Thank you so much. Okay, so we have two recordings and crystals. Let me do the, I always try to save crystals just in case she's able to work in the call. But the kids are keeping her busy, and sometimes she falls asleep, and that's totally understandable. And yesterday was my dear little sister's birthday, and maybe if she had that much fun and tired her little self out, she fell asleep for that reason. Or maybe she'll call. But belated happy birthday, Crystal. Now, if you guys will click on Phil's poem, and before I push play, I'm just adding the photo that Phil chose real quick to the board so that you guys can see what he wrote to. And here comes the tree on the board as well. Okay, so without further ado, let me push play for Phil the Poet.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Snoring Under Hill. There is an old English village called Snoring Under Hill, which for most of the year is quite tranquil and still. But during the winter months, you can hear snoring from deep below, sometimes a nasal high-pitched squeal or grunting flow. Badger snores with his mouth wide open, catching flies, dreaming of freshly baked dandelion and burdock pies, while neighbor mole prepares for a midnight feast, comprising of his favorite dainties and delicious treats. In the village hall about a month back, there was a debate. Badger and mole convinced some of the animals to hibernate. Many grumbled, thinking it was a stupid idea. Rabbit and fox thought that badger was a wise old seer, and so started to prepare for a good few months' rest. Squirrel told them to hoard nuts would be for the best. Soon they fell asleep in their own holes and began to snore. A few hours later, fox woke up with a cramped paw. Howling like a wolf in pain, fox tried to get some relief. Unfortunately, she hit her head, which added to her grief. She cursed the day she ever listened to badger and mole, as she shivered, nursing her foreleg in the frigid cold. Meanwhile, Rabbit's nose twitched so much she began to sneeze. It startled him out of his sleep when he felt an icy breeze, seeing that someone had broken in and stolen all his nuts. He shook his head and through his teeth gave a few angry tuts. Spring arrived at Snoring Under Hill, and the animals danced about, except Badger, Mole and Squirrel, who were terrified and began to shout. They were being chased by Rabbit the Rabbit and Frustrated Fox, down the dales and beyond to the misty Scottish lochs. End poem.
Oh my goodness, how about that? That was really incredible. It was like he was reading us a fairy tale. And wow. If you look at that photo with all the little critters under there, hibernated, snoring under hill. So what a cool title.
But then he takes us on a journey with them. The badger snores with his mouth wide open, catching flies. How many times have you heard that one? You're trying to catch flies, shut that mouth. That made me giggle. In the village, about a month back, there was a debate. Badger and mole convinced some of the animals to hibernate. And he grumbled, thinking it was a stupid idea. Rabbit and Fox thought the badger was a wise old seer. It was just so cool. The details, the descriptions, the journey that we take on with these critters. She cursed the day she ever listened to badger and mole as she shivered, nursing her foreleg in the frigid cold. I mean, he really made a complete tale out of this. And they were being chased by rabid and frustrated fox down the dates beyond to the misty Scottish locks. It's like chasing them down there towards locks. Maybe they're going to go have a swim with the Loch Ness Monster. But where was there's one more thing I wanted to point out. Rabbit and Fox. No, not that. I already said that one. Oh, I hate when this happens and you can't find something that you were looking for. Regardless, every single stanza has some little detail that just totally brought this story to life. And if you look, like I said, at the photo, he always does an amazing job giving us a story for the photos, and he can write to any kind of photo. But then, you know, he never ceases to amaze when he puts it on an audio for us and reads and adds his accent and stuff. It's such a treat. So thank you for the weekly gift, Phil the Poet. Sweet, what did you think?
Hey, Deb, I don't mean to interrupt you, sweet. I got a bunch of people here. I'm gonna take off.
Hey.
Here's the girls here.
Hey, y'all. Okay.
Let y'all go. I got to run.
Hello. Thank you, Wayne. My sweet, can you comment for Phil? I think you're muted.
What an amazing story. What a Scottish tale. It's almost like Snoring Underhill is a neighbor of Wonderland. I'm just wondering if the white rabbit might know the other rabbit that lives with the badger and the fox. They seem to have a lot in together as they fall asleep in their own holes and begin to snore. I'm just wondering. I really love the details. I love everything, you know, seeing that someone had broken in and stolen his nuts. He cursed the day she ever listened to Badger. There's just so much wrapped up into this. This is just absolutely stunning and brilliant and brings everything together. I think Snoring Underhill is really a close neighbor to Wonderland. That's how great this is.
Awesome comment. And, okay, and Wayne had to go, and Hatter hasn't called back, so I guess we will just do these two and go home.
Okay.
If you would click on the board, I will push play for Mr. Gerald Green and see what he brought us this week.
Country Birth, written and read by Gerald Green. He set the reins upon the floor and let the horses go. With confidence, they knew the way while he sat back upon the sleigh. The Morgans were a well-matched pair, both 3 years old and fully trained, who trotted silently through town, a handsome sight of chestnut brown. The night before, he'd been called out. A local midwife needed help. It took all night, but ended right. A child was born, a wondrous sight. He felt the midwife had improved, could now do better on her own, and also felt relief and joy about the mother and the boy. This Christmas day reminded him of Bethlehem so long ago. Another child was given birth, the greatest ever here on earth. The doctor read the ancient texts while gliding smoothly on the road. He pondered life and then rejoiced with greatest words that could be voiced. He praised creation as he rode and loved this God who treasures life. So, as the sun shone on the snow, he marveled at its crispy glow. End poem.
Aww. Country Birth. Love the title. The night before he'd been called out, a local midwife needed help. It took all night but ended right. A child was born, a wondrous sight. I love the wording there. This Christmas day reminded him of Bethlehem. So long ago, another child was given birth, the greatest ever here on earth. He praised creation as he rode and loved this God who's treasured life. So as the sun shone on the snow, he marveled at its crispy glow. What an awesome piece. Just filled with the feel of the Christmas story, of the meaning of the holiday, of another side from the many facets known as Mr. Gerald Green. Really, really enjoyed this, and the touch of the birth of baby Jesus is a priceless way to take this prompt. Fantastic job. What do you think, sweet?
I really love this. I love how he pays also homage to the forces. You know, the Morgan for a well-matched pair, both 2 years old and fully trained, who trotted silently through the town, a handsome sight of chestnut. I love the description of the horses. And it kind of like goes back again to the major scene where the animals were off the air. And it was just, you know, Dr. Red, the ancient text, like riding and sleeping on the boat. And obviously, he's on a sleigh with the horses again. It just really kind of, that whole scene. And since I know where Gerald is from, it kind of conjures up a little more for me about the scene and something like that. But, you know, and he may not be writing the poem from that perspective, but for me, it's from that perspective. I don't know if you know this, but him and I actually used to live in the same town for a while. So I think of that small town, and I just find that really, really beautiful.
Amazing comment. Thank you, my sweet. And I am on my way over to the board with the last link, which is for my little sis, Crystal Hope. So I think I will read for her after I shout one more time, belated happy birthday to you. And sweet, do you see her poem? Okay. Well, this is called Spearmint Snow by Crystal Hope.
Yeah.
And here we go. Periwinkle starlight skies radiated off the shutters as pastel ornaments jingle with butterfly flutters. Pomegranate grasses painted with gems of the diamond star of Bethlehem. Snow icicles glitter on the chimney as charcoal boots nested beneath a cup of herbal tea. Shaded branches tinsel the icy embers of the scented memories of December. Fireplace smoke whistled like an alto flute burning the crackling timbers of pine root. Lavender lilies dangled in the polka-dotted glow as winter's paintbrush twirled in the spearmint snow. Oh, I love this. She said, I love number 14. And I was like, oh, cool, I love when that happens. And the colors, the periwinkle starlight, she pulled out all the gorgeous colors and she glittered them for us and enchanted them in this little trip down memories from December.
and her rhyme and her flow and that closing stanza, I love, love, love. Lavender lilies dangled in a polka-dotted glow as winter's paintbrush twirled in the spearmint snow. Excellent brevity, Crystal. Thank you so much. And it was an honor for me to be your reader. And let me get Sweet to comment for you. Sweet, are you muted?
Ah, yes, I'm going to spark my arm after a mute. This is colorful perception in words, language, description, imagery. It's almost like having a dream. You know, it's really beautiful.
It absolutely is, yeah. Crystal's really good at brevity. She always has been. We say it all the time about each other, but our growth in writing shows more and more with each show. So, Crystal, appreciate you and everyone else. Before I do my little closeout, I want to remind everyone, excuse me, that tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern, we can join Raconteur for his show. And his topic is on New Year's resolutions. Do you do them? Do you make them and then kind of flake out? Do you still, or have you ever made one and fulfilled it? This question and many more will be answered tomorrow with Raconteur. And, Sweet, you want to tell us about Thursday and your last show before Christmas?
My last show before Christmas is open poetry. What are you thinking? What's going on? Are you just saying you have it? You don't care? Write about whatever? I don't care. Just come on by. It's all about you. Unwrap your own stuff. Unwrap your stuff. Unwrap it. Whatever you need to do, and let it all go. You can enjoy the holidays. Rant, rave, cry, scream, giggle, whatever you want to do. It's open poetry. Through that, it's a free discussion. Anybody say goodnight to my girlfriend? Goodnight, baby.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I love you.
So sweet. Okay. Well, on that endearing little note there, I am going to thank Patter and Sweet Pea and AP, my amazing board for today and every day and all the amazing things that you guys do. I appreciate you. And I want to say thank you to Stephen and Kay and Wayne for calling and hanging out with us tonight. And I want to thank Angel for the beautiful poem and Iris and Crystal for their gorgeous poems. And I want to thank Gerald and Phil for sending in the recording. And I appreciate you all very, very much. And next week is my last Monday night show of the year. And it's a big challenge, and I look forward to seeing the brilliance that you present because you always, always impress. I can't wait to see you then. And I am honored to spend time with you. I'm filled with love and respect for you all, and I am going to take you out with one of the most breathtaking collaborations ever for a Christmas song. This is Bowie and Crosby. Love and respect, everyone.
Good night, guys.
Okay, Tokyo, South America.
Okay, that is clearly marked wrong, and that's really a bummer because I really wanted that, so that's not going to happen.
Well, that's not being.
Yeah, I'm I'm so bummed. It's supposed to be where they, it's like they do the Drummer Boy and Peace on Earth together as they, but anyhow, I will look into that so that we get to really, really hear it. Wow. And I don't think we have any Santa. Well, I guess.
Well, look for it. It'd be great for my show.
Can't believe that happened. And like, I was going to look and see what we might have in there on Santa, and instead, the first thing that popped up was Santana's acid trip, and I don't think that's the
not
the feel I was going for. So I think on that note, I will just turn around and say, I tried.
Good night.
I love you one and all. And I am going to hang up this phone before I push the button and not know what it might say. Hey, we could try this one. Oh, my God. Thank you, everyone. Love you, sweet. Love and respect
love
everyone.
You
come to us. We're going to need a bigger group.